we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. I'm thankful the scripture tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. And it's powerful to see how often joy is an element that people discover or experience when they come to the Lord. There are a lot of people that think serving God is drudgery. It's dull, it's dead, it's boring. Well, they need to get in touch with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And let the power of the Lord make a change in their lives. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Amen. So we welcome you to the house of the Lord. And those who are watching online, God bless you. Here's the last in a series of lessons that largely taken from the prophets. And also the last of a series from Word of Flame. The new series is going to be an interesting compilation and a different way that things are going to unfold. In fact, the student handbook, as we've distributed to you, is twice the size as it used to be, twice the price too, but you're going to get what the teacher gets. So I told one of the teachers today, that's going to make it easy, because then we're going to be able to say, Brother Norm, get ready to teach point A. And Sister Shar, get ready for point B. You're going to share. Since you have the teacher's material, be ready. I don't know if that's going to turn out that way, but it might. So be ready. Talk about the spirit of prophecy. That's going to be very important. The focus thought is very direct and very simple. Prophets speak on behalf of God. And that statement is quite profound, because you can't just go willy-nilly or whatever phrase you want to use to make it appear as though it's nothing. It's simple. It's, you know, and sometimes there are those who are quite foolish with their handling of the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy in particular. You know, some of the crazy things that I've heard. There are really some ridiculous things that happen in church sometimes. You know, the tongues and interpretation, things are bad. The storm clouds are gathering. Things are really hard. It's so bad, I don't know if I'm going to make it myself. And then tongues stopped right there, or the interpretation stopped right there. Because if anybody's going to make it and help you make it, it's the Lord. Amen. And then it came on again. In the tongues and in the interpretation. This is really me this time. Last time it was my foolish servant. Oh, my goodness. Now, that brings up a point. If there's misuse or even abuse, there is the proper use. See, we don't park our cars because somebody was driving drunk and had an accident. We drive properly and safely. And that's the way God wants us to use the gifts and offices that he has given to the church. And we thank the Lord that there is that aspect of what is correct and what is right and what we need to do. So you'll see in the focus verse from, actually two verses from Exodus 7, about Aaron and Moses, and then Numbers 12 about Moses, and then Deuteronomy 18, the prophecy that Moses made about a prophet that shall arise, a prophet that shall come and be like unto me. Amen. So there's much, obviously, in the scripture, and these are Old Testament references, much in the New Testament that we will look at and understand. And again, there has been abuse and has caused a lot of people to step back from accepting what the Lord would give in a fivefold ministry and the gifts of the Spirit and the functions in the church. And I wasn't a part of it when I came to the Lord, but there was some that still remained of a, I don't know if you can call it a movement or an aspect called latter rain. And latter rain opened up the door to a lot of misuse and a lot of foolishness. In fact, I won't qualify that as just being back in the 50s and 60s and so on. There were foolish things going on here just recently in Seattle. A church that invited people to come together and have different partners. I mean, it was crazy. Absolutely foolish. And yet, that was the practice. And thank God we have truth and the direction that the Lord has provided. But there is false, there is fake. In your handbook, there's the story of a man who won the lottery, $125 million. And people, of course, ask him, what are you going to do? Are you going to go on vacation? Are you going to buy? Are you going to retire? What are you going to do? And he said, watch and see. Well, it was posted on Facebook that he was arrested for dumping $200,000 worth of manure on his boss's front yard. I mean, there was a mugshot and everything. But it was fake. It was fake news. He just made that up. And yet millions of people saw it on Facebook and thought, wow, that's something. The mugshot was from a DUI that he had years before, but he manufactured this thing. So... there's the fake, there's the counterfeit. We've got to be on guard. And that's where the scripture becomes so necessary and so important to be familiar with. That's why we challenge you to go with the bread program every year or whatever Bible reading program you're accustomed to, whether it's online, on your device, a separate book that's got it all set out for you, whatever translation. Stay with the Word. Amen. Because becoming familiar with the truth is going to help you identify immediately what is off base. And in fact, I understand that tellers in the bank don't try to identify examples of counterfeit. They become very familiar with what is real, so that anything counterfeit shows up, they would be able to identify immediately, this doesn't feel right. This is odd. In fact, a $5 bill showed up in our offering plate a few years back. It was counterfeit. And it looked so real, but it did have just kind of an odd feel to it. And... it's counterfeit. Yeah. Not legal tender. In December 1901, I don't know if any of you read the Ladies' Home Journal back then, but there was a question about what is the world going to be like 100 years from now? This was in 1901. And the man didn't just do a poll of people on the street. He talked to scientists. He talked to people who were knowledgeable. And some of them offered their ideas and their opinions. Here's a few of them. By 2001, Nicaragua and Mexico would be part of the United States. No? Some letters in the English alphabet would be eliminated. How that would happen. Russian would be the second most spoken language in the world. It's actually the eighth, it says. There would be no animals except in zoos. Rats and mice would be exterminated. Strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries would be as big as apples. This is some of the predictions in that article in Ladies' Home Journal, 1901. Well, none of them have happened. None of them have come to pass. If it was God speaking, it would come to pass. See, that's the difference. Man comes up with all kinds of ideas and thoughts and predictions and projections. But when God says it, it's going to happen. It's going to be there. And the evidence of prophecy is one of the strongest proofs of how accurate the Bible is. And then also underlines, underscores for us all the rest of the prophecies, for example, Revelation, that are going to come to pass, and it's not going to fail. We may not have a clear picture, a clear understanding of how it's going to happen, but we're seeing more and more of what the Lord is bringing about and causing to come to pass. And thank the Lord for that. So in the Old Testament, there are numerous examples of prophets. Abraham is called a prophet. And basically, because of his prayer, and I think of him praying those times when the angels visited him and said judgment is going to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot, his relative, was there, and so he entreated the Lord. He wouldn't let go. He kept on praying, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, and you're familiar with the story, if there's 45, if there's 40, 30, 20, 10, and how that he pleaded with God, if there's even just 10 righteous, would you destroy the city? And the Lord said, no. So that teaches us a couple of things. Obviously, prayer. Don't let go. Keep holding on. Keep asking the Lord. And of course, qualify that with the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is for souls. And then also how important your stand is, your position as righteous people. Don't ever... You know, the world will want to belittle you and mock you and ridicule you and so on, but don't be intimidated. Your position as a righteous people is very important, very strong, very powerful to preserve, correct, and provide the way that God would have you to go. So Abraham called a prophet because prophets pray. Amen. And we know from our focus verse that the Lord told Moses that Aaron would be a prophet, and he's going to speak to Pharaoh. I read that, and I know I've read it many, many times, but when I saw that, the mistakes of Aaron immediately came to mind. You know, how could he have erred in the way that he did with the golden calf and, you know, the different things that happened under Aaron. How could he have made those mistakes? Well, again, we're human. God help us to be able to walk as close as we can to the Lord without the human aspects. And, there was pressure that was put on Aaron. There was somewhat of a vacuum there when Moses was on the mountain and the people are exclaiming and proclaiming, you know, where is he? What are we going to do? And so on. So Aaron was subjected to that pressure and yielded to it instead of standing for God and saying, just wait. Wait on the Lord. God's not forsaken you. See that cloud? See that pillar of fire? He's still here. You know, he should have had that kind of direction, but he went with this ludicrous explanation of how the golden calf came out of the fire and so on. It's just ridiculous. But the prophets that the Lord put in place are definitely what we want to hold on to. And thank God that there is that direction that the Lord would provide. Moses is called a prophet, and the Lord said, I speak to him face to face, and plainly, and not in dark sayings. Now, we know that he definitely had a connection with God that was powerful from the burning bush experience, where he got direction for the next 40 years of his life. And I think even then he had a desire for the things of God. The teachings of his mother stayed with him, even though he was in Pharaoh's palace and learning so many things about Egyptian religion, diplomacy, engineering, mathematics, science, chemistry, all of those government, all of those things that he studied, and military maneuvers and planning and tactical, strategical things. You know, he wasn't just a prince that could enjoy all the dainties and delicious things in the palace. He was a strong man, and God helped him to identify with the Hebrews, and Hebrews 11. Gives us an example of what he understood. The pleasures of sin are just for a season. It's interesting that the scriptures would acknowledge that there are pleasures in sin, but they're only seasonal. They don't last. They're here for a short time, a small window, and then it's over. And a lot of grief and sorrow and hardship can be reaped from a sinful lifestyle. So it pays for us to understand from the example of others the way that we should go, the direction we should choose. And obviously, Moses having this choice, this desire to follow the Lord and continually in prayer and talking to the Lord, what should I do? What is your direction? What? How's this going to work out? And the Lord didn't leave him standing without options, without answers, without a way to go. The Lord said, you know, strike the rock, and water will pour out. Well, my goodness, enough water for 2 million plus people and all of their flocks? That was quite a fountain. But it shut people up for a while. And just until they start complaining about the manna. Huh? That's interesting. Here's something to eat every morning on the ground, and it tastes sweet like honey, and you could make it into bread, you could knead it, you could do all kinds of things with it. But then they started complaining. It just shows the humanity. You've got to guard, or better yet, crucify your humanity, because it's so easy to get off base. But here's Moses desiring to see the glory of God, the abundant splendor of the power of the Lord. And praise God, I'm thankful that the Lord answered and provided for him and showed him his goodness. Amen. And thank God for the hand of the Lord upon him, the direction that was there. When you think about visions and dreams, who do you think of in Scripture? Joseph interpreted dreams. Daniel and interpreted dreams, and Brother Treese, the teachings that he had on the comparison or the joining of what Daniel saw and what John saw in Revelation is really unique, really powerful because it comes together, and he had a very unique way of presenting that. And the images, you know, that artists have drawn about the different beasts and so on, they look so formidable and they so awful and terrible and so on. But they are. What's going to come on this earth is not going to be just a fantasy or an idea that is propelled by Hollywood. No, it's going to be a terrible time of suffering. And God help us to be ready to move out. You know, I got a call from somebody who was talking about end times, and I said, well, we just need to be ready. And after I hung up from the call, because she agreed, said, yes, we need to be ready. And when I hung up from the call, I realized I think she misunderstood me. I think she thought I was saying get ready for the tribulation. Get ready to hang on. Get ready to survive. No, I'm saying get ready, get out of here. Get ready for the trumpet to sound. Get ready for the Lord to call you home. Praise God. I'm not, you know, God has not preserved you for wrath. He's called you to salvation. Praise God. Thank the Lord that the prophetic word is telling us that that's the direction that God has for us. So Elijah, with Elisha, the Lord directed him to anoint him to be a prophet, and there was a school of the prophets. There were people who were directed by God to step forth. I like Amos. Amos is one of those prophets who was just compelled by God to do the work that he desired for him. And Amos pointed out, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. You know, he had no heritage. He had no lineage that he could say, oh, I know how prophets work. My dad was a prophet. He said, no, I have no experience. I'm just called. The Lord just put it on me. And he took me as I followed the flock, and I thought, there's a key. He was a shepherd. He had a shepherd's heart, and he therefore knew that he needed to step forward and give direction to the people of God as the Lord would provide for him. And thank God today there's prophets. The Lord gave to the church in Ephesians 4:11 that fivefold ministry. And thank the Lord that it's there as well. And then 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, again, the Apostle Paul showing forth what the Lord would provide for the church. You know, there's the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, and then these offices or these positions that are at work. And then we know in the book of Acts, Agabus was a prophet who spoke two times in chapter 11 about the famine, and then chapter 21 about Paul being imprisoned. So, you know, both times it was fulfilled. Again, speaking for God, that is a primary position of the prophet and a profound one. I think I told you, about how speaking to someone is to me, it's a precarious position to be in. I don't want to mislead. I don't want to say anything out of hand. I don't want to offend. And I told you, you know, what Jesus said about offending one of these little ones. It'd be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and jump overboard. As you know, don't be careless. You know, don't feel like this is just something you can do and you're going to start speaking to somebody. Well, you better be prayed up. You better be walking according to the Word of God. You better be where you need to be in God and not just spouting things off. Amen. Because it's important to be able to follow through. Philip, we know the evangelist who went to Samaria had four daughters who prophesied. And in fact, Romans 12 also talks about functions. He doesn't talk about persons. He talks about functions. And it's true that all prophets and prophetesses, oh, by the way, in the Old Testament, who was a prophetess? Who? Okay. Hilda? Or Huldah, I guess. Not Hilda, Huldah. Who else? Deborah. And so, you know, again, there was the God using people, fallible people, to be sure, but God using them in a powerful way. And one that I overlooked before, I guess, Noadiah. Noadiah in Nehemiah. Was Iska a prophetess? She wasn't. Oh, okay. Iska's in the Bible. Did you know that? So, the function, the function is important. And the prophets and prophetesses, it points out, would be gifted to prophesy, but not all who prophesy are prophets. There's a difference between the gift and the function. And that's the important aspect here of following through. And the scripture, Jeremiah 14:14, the Lord was warning about prophets who prophesy lies in my name. What? we might be aghast at that, but they have deceit of heart. They prophesy false visions and divination and things of naught because of deceit of heart. And then Jeremiah goes on, remember, to chapter 17 and verse 9, and tells us the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Wow. That's why there's got to be a change of heart. That's why Jeremiah prophesies about the Lord, saying, I'm going to take out your carnal heart, your fleshly heart, your heart of stone, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Not a heart of flesh that relies upon our worldly thinking in this flesh, but to follow the Lord, to be sensitive to Him, to be able to be changed to do the things of God. Because, as I said, false news and counterfeit, there's always that. We were knocking doors one summer. We spent 10 weeks. My friend and I from Bible school, we traveled through Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and one church a week. And we knocked on one door, went in, and they wanted prayer. The lady was inebriated, and she started talking in tongues. Just like that when we were praying. The devil knows how to counterfeit. And that's why you've got to be on guard. That's why you've got to be knowledgeable in the Word of God and making sure that you are able to follow what the Lord has. You know, the discerning of spirits, because there's the spirit of man, there's the spirit of God, there's the demonic spirit. That's why discerning of spirits, try the spirits, John said. And try on what basis? On the Word of God. You know, God's not going to deviate from His Word. You can always hold on to what the Word of God says. Exactly. Brother, the spirit of man displayed, and Brother Cole told about a service that he was in overseas, And a lady fell out in the altar, stiff as a board. And he said, some of the young men would run up to her and try to cast out the devil and then run back. You know, they were afraid. Didn't know what to do. Brother Cole walked over there and told her to get up. Get up and go sit down. Because the spirit of man sometimes just gets carried away. And so the Bible school in the prayer room barking like a dog, and then different students trying to cast the devil out, and they got the resident from the dorm to come down, and he tried to do something with him. He said, call the president. Brother Norris came in and looked at him. Brother Norris had a way of doing his hands when he was thinking. And then he said, you, over there, barking like a dog, get up before I call the police. So there's foolishness, and we don't want to be, caught up in that. But there's a judgment aspect, too, that is real strong. I was part of a service one time, long ways away from here, and the tongues were very direct, very personal, and warned about the way this person was going. I mean, I was surprised. I thought, wow. And then come to find out that person made poor decisions and walked away from this truth and is no longer serving God and the truth that he grew up with. But yet the warning was very direct, very straight. And I thought, can't miss that. And God help us to be able to be directed. Because we could get, Nathan told David, you go build the house, do all that is in your heart, go for it, basically. And then the Lord talked to him that night. And the Lord said, no, you go and tell David. And then, of course, we know Solomon was the one who was directed to build the temple. But Nathan had to hear from God. He thought it probably was a good idea. He thought, yep, David, you've got the resources, you've got the ability, you've got the devotion, and you can make up for some of your mistakes. Go ahead. But Nathan, a prophet, needed a word from the Lord, and God directed him. Amen. And thank the Lord, there would be that direction that the Lord would have. When you first started serving God and you were in church and you heard the preacher, did you feel like you were being singled out? Were there times that you felt, my goodness, how did he know that? When I first started serving God, my pastor was Brother Smith. I thought, how did Brother Smith know that? Brother Smith following me around. He's just preaching under the anointing, and I needed to hear. I needed to correct. Amen. And thank God that there is that. See, that kind of prophecy is forthtelling, not foretelling. There is foretelling, but the forthtelling is the preaching that will speak directly to you. Even though the preacher may not know who he's talking to. And you've probably heard preachers say that. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I feel to say, and boom, right down the line they go. And the benefit there is for people who will respond to the prophet and be directed by the Spirit of the Lord. And thank God that there would be that direction. And 1 Corinthians 14 and 25 is the area that I'm talking about, the secrets of his heart made manifest. And falling down in his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Chapter 12, the apostle lists the nine gifts of the Spirit. At the end of the chapter, he goes into the helps and the offices, the works. He includes prophecy. Chapter 13, he says, even though I'm a prophet and I can tell things and I can say things, and but if I don't have love, forget it. Then chapter 14, he emphasizes the aspect of prophecy, and this again is the fourth telling, the preaching, the direction. There is the foretelling, and we're seeing the fulfillment of a lot of the foretelling from Revelation that is taking place now. Some of the stuff that I heard when I first started in church, you know, the mark of the beast, the 666, it was a big branding iron, 666. Don't take the mark, you know, and scared me to death. But now we know, about a tiny chip. They say the size of a grain of rice. Now, that offends me. They need to make another comparison. Yeah. Something real tiny that can be under your skin, and all your medical history, your financial history, your citizenship, your finances, all of that. Vaccinations. Oh, my. So we see the possibility now of how all of this with the computer age and the weaponry, the biotechnical stuff that is available, and probably stuff we don't even know that the military around the world has. And we see the potential of how what John saw from his first century perspective all the way into the 21st century with all of its technology, we see how it can happen now. So being aware of that prophecy is so important, and the before times that the Lord talked about to his disciples after the resurrection. Remember, he said all the things concerning me needed to be fulfilled, spoken by Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And I always exclaim about how that would be a tremendous Bible study to be a part of, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that the Lord fulfilled. And then the other things that were going to be fulfilled. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God. And it happened. And then the other prophecies that those apostles wrote about and how it is going to be fulfilled. It is going to happen. And there is going to be for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the direction that the Lord would have for us. And thank God that prophet that Moses talked about, that the Lord is going to raise up. Amen. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. Amen. Not just a portion of God, but the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. Praise God. I'm glad Colossians 2 and 9 is such a direct statement, a simple statement, a straightforward statement of who Jesus Christ is. And then all the other corroborating verses, you know, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Moses wanting to see his glory, he saw it. The disciples saw him. Amen. And oh, what glory he was able to enjoy in the presence of the Lord. Now, why did God do that? Why did the Lord have Elijah and Moses appear with him on the Mount of Transfiguration? Okay. The prophecy and the law, the truth that God would fulfill as he manifested his power and his glory and his might in that shining, oh my, we're going to see him. Praise God. We're going to see him. Amen. And John, you know, heard that voice. It sounded like a trumpet. He'd heard the voice before many times. And he turned to see who spoke, and he saw him again. Looked like a furnace. Looked like brass. And then he fell at his feet, but then he felt that touch. Oh, my. Thank God that we have that as well, and the blessing of the Lord that is there, that God provides for us and ministers to us in only the way that he can, through his word and the prophet that was to come. Now, Jesus fed the 5,000, and some who saw the miracle made this exclamation in John 6 and 14. This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. What prophet? Well, Deuteronomy 18:18, the Lord said through Moses, a prophet like unto me is God is going to raise him. He said it twice. God is going to raise him up. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ that would fulfill. Now, learning to listen the word of the Lord, learning to listen what comes across that pulpit, learning to conform and be transformed the way that God would have us to be is so important, so necessary, because, oh my, the voices are being multiplied out there now. And the media is making sure you hear all kinds of voices, all kinds of opinions and directions and ideas that may have a part of Scripture in them to where they may seem authentic, but your knowledge of what the Word of God says, your adherence to what is preached is going to help you, direct you, to guide you. Amen. And Jeremiah says you're going to hear a voice. It's going to direct you. It's going to guide you. Amen. And thank the Lord that that's how we can be assured of being on the right path. Amen. And thank God for ministry who can speak into our lives. Thank God for the word of the Lord that can come alive and be directed. I'm amazed at the times that I've shared Bible studies. Could be Search for Truth, could be Exploring God's Word, whatever one, you know. I'm flipping the charts, we're flipping through the Scriptures, and here's something that I've read. I know I've read it before, but my, it just jumps off the page at me. And here's a new application, a new perspective, a new truth, as it were, to enlighten me. And I thank God for it, because of how alive the Word of God is. And that's what Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. Praise God. And that's the Word that we rely upon today. All right. The aspects of God putting the prophecy and prophets into his church, into his body, into his concept of ministry is very important, and not to push them aside or shun them and so on. And again, I know there people got burned at crazy stuff that was going on, and that definitely raises the guard. But I thank the Lord that there's, you know, Brother Hernandez, for example. Brother Hernandez, right? Yeah, he's preaching away. You've heard him preach, and he's delivering the word. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just stops, And he speaks right to an individual. And I've been amazed at how God has used mere man, if I can say it that way, and been able to present his message. God help us to continue to desire to be used of the Lord. Because I guarantee you, the people that are hurting in this world, the people who need hope, the people who need direction, the people who need deliverance, need your word. And that, when you're teaching, that it'll come. I promise you, it'll be there. And you will be able to say words that you weren't even thinking, perhaps. And the Lord quickens your mind and quickens your heart, and you share it. And you may not even be aware of what you're touching, what you're speaking to, what you're dealing with from their past. But the Holy Ghost leading you and helping you. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord. Jesus, we love you. Oh, Savior, we glorify your name. Help us today, Lord, as your people, your body, the bride of Christ. Help us, Lord God, to follow after you, to desire you, to recognize, God, there's a world that is hurting, a world, Lord, that needs to hear from you. Help us, Lord, to be your mouthpiece. Help us, Lord, to deliver your word. Oh, God, we know your word gives hope. Your word gives direction. Your word is truth, truth that makes men free. Thank you, Lord, for that freedom and liberty that you brought to us, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, God, that we can impart that to others, Lord, be empowered by your spirit, anointed by your spirit to do that work. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And